Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix, news and advice on marketing, media and the web.
Welcome to show number 40. It is Friday the 23rd of June 2006. I'm Brendan Sinclair and joined as always by...
Tina Goodman. How are you going, everyone?
Today's show we're going to talk about marketing. I'm a very firm believer that it's not about how good your product is. It's not about how good your service is. It's not about how fabulous your website is. It's about how good you are at marketing your product or your service. It's not about the quality of the product. It's about your marketing. I've got a really good example, and that example is a company that I've been involved with that makes a sports product. It's called Arctic Heat. Here in Australia, all the Australian rules football players use them, the Australian cricket team use them. They're the ice vests that these guys use. And this company, we started it in 2001, July the 1st, 2001. I was one of the founding shareholders and still am a shareholder. Product's great, and it's fine, but the company's never really gone to any great heights, even though it's achieved those little successes with making a few sales.
That sounds fairly impressive, though. If the AFL players are wearing it, you think it would have really taken off?
Yeah, well, there's a whole range of sports that use it. There's the English soccer team use them. The Australian Olympic team use them to a very high degree, but there hasn't been profiled that they've been using because there's sponsorship issues with... I think it was Nike brought out a vest, and as part of the sponsorship deal, they have to be seen wearing that vest,
where
apparently they're using ours quite a bit, but that happens a lot. Now, so yeah, there's a huge range of organisations that wear it and wear it proudly. All the Australian cricketers, like I say, use it, the hockey players, etc. Great product. Now, the difficulty with the product is that it's all about the marketing. You've got to get it out in front of people in the appropriate way. Now, this product's always been difficult to get hold of in retail stores. We've had it in retail stores in major retailers, as in the major sports retailers in Australia.
Mm.
Now, what's generally happened is that I was talking with the general manager the other day, and he said he'd go into one of the retailers and say, hey, I'm interested in the Arctic Heat Vest. And the 16-year-old salesperson would say, oh, sorry, we don't stock them. And he would say, yes, you do. I can see it over there by the window. Oh, okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the vest? No. And it's a pretty premium item. It sells for $200.
Yeah.
It's technical in the sense that you need to know a bit of information before you'd certainly be comfortable enough to buy it. And that's been an overwhelming component of that company's frustration, is they haven't been able to access the marketplace to any great degree because of the marketing of the product at the retail level hasn't been that strong. Now, when you go to market a product at the retail level like that, it's also damn expensive. Like, a company won't just take your product, and that's great, they'll advertise on their TV show, in their flyers, in their brochures, etc. They'll ask you for a 5% discount for paying within 30 days. Even if they don't pay within 30 days, they'll stretch it out to 90.
Mm-hmm.
They ask you for a 5% of sales to go towards their advertising. And then when they go to put you in a million leaflets that are going to be dropped around Australia, they'll also hit you for the cost of that at a tremendous premium. So you pay all the advertising for your product, A, to get it into the retail store and to get it in front of people. Don't think the retailer's paying for that a lot of the time. With these big guys, they are just ruthless, and they will screw you down for every dollar. They're amazing. So it's tremendously expensive to get a product in front of people. And when at the retail level, then the salesperson isn't aware of the intricacies of the product, when it can be a technical one, then that's a real killer for your product. So it's really about the marketing and getting it in front of people, and getting it in front of people in the right way, with people who have got the skills to present it in such a way.
So it sounds from what you're saying that even though they have a really good product and it's so good that professional sports players use it, they haven't managed to make a profit from it because they just haven't been able to market it properly.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because there's been a lot of frustrations along the way in terms of resources, in terms of being able to pay the huge dollars to get it in front of people, and to pay the resources needed to train the staff. And that's been a disappointing aspect for the company.
So can you give us a successful example of where, say, an average product has done really, really well because of good marketing?
Yeah, of course. An iPod. Look at an iPod. An iPod is an iconic thing now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other MP3 players out there that are a hell of a lot better than iPods at playing music, at recording music. They disabled a lot of the features on iPods so that you have to keep buying accessories.
Yeah.
With other MP3 players, they've got a stack load more. But you ask anyone what their first thought is with MP3 players, and they'll say iPods. That's a billions of dollars because they've marketed that at absolutely beautifully with the branding of that product.
Yeah. And it's beautifully presented. Like, Apple have just done an amazing job with everything.
Yeah, it has. They've done it real well from day one. Now, that's probably the really extreme case of good marketing overcoming an average product. But that's now seen as an iconic product and certainly as an iconic marketing example.
So in order to achieve good marketing, what's the key thing you have to do?
You just got to get off your ass and do stuff. You really do. A great example is just a bit of added value that I'm doing as a bit of a hobby on the tailored side. I'm running the Gold Coast Airport Half Marathon in a couple of weeks. And to provide some added value to people who've been reading about my trials and tribulations of going through training for the race, you and I have done the video of the course and it's come up great, and we'll post that up today. And we've also interviewed 5 different people about doing a race. And we've interviewed a guy called Pat Carroll, who's one of Australia's greatest ever distance runners, and he's won the race 4 times. The Gold Coast Airport Marathon's Australia's biggest marathon. Samantha Hughes, who's one of Australia's leading female distance runners. She won the Gold Coast Marathon 2000, Melbourne Marathon 2001. A guy called Dave Williams, who's got Hammer Nutrition, one of Australia's leading experts in endurance nutrition. A guy called Mike Page, who's a great endurance athlete. He just won a 62-kilometre race, and a complete novice in long-distance running who's running the Gold Coast Airport Half Marathon, called Jackie. Now, we've interviewed all these people. We're going to cut it together and put it together as a bit of a tip on what you should do before the race, during the race, after the race, etc., just so it's added value. But all I've done is pick up the phone and call these people and say, this is what I'm doing. Do you want to give us a hand? And they've all gone, yeah, great, great.
I guess they're flattered by the fact you're asking them for their opinion as well.
Exactly. I mean, Pat is one of the best-known marathoners in Australia. And he's just happy to, you know, help out, loves the sport and all the rest of it, and just thrilled to be part of it. Same with Sam Hughes. She's the same. She loves people running. And Sam not only is an elite athlete, but she's also got, you know, a degree in
sports nutrition
and all that. Just amazing. And those guys are all happy to contribute their little bit. And what it does is it gives me a great resource to put up on the website to share with other people, and it's fantastic value adding, and that's me taking action. Now, there's lots of strategic reasons I've done that as well, in terms of it presents our expertise on the website, it demonstrates what we do and how we do it. I've cemented relationships with all those people, or I've solidified relationships with all those people. I'll send them out a thank you note, maybe a box of chocolates, all of those things to say thanks for helping out. And what do you think is going to happen next time I ring them up and ask them for a favour?
Of course they're going to say yes.
Because
I think, I'll get some chocolates again.
Get some more chockies. And on it goes. It's just easy stuff. So you've got to get out there and take action. I did a blog on my tailored site the other day. And in the tailored site, I said, hey, imagine if you send out this letter to 200 people who play tennis. And it was a direct mail example that I just wrote off the top of my head. And what do you think would happen? Some people would buy, some people wouldn't. Then you follow them up with another letter, whatever. And the whole point of the story was that, hey, well, if you do a letter, you're going to make sales. So get off your butt and go and do stuff. Write direct mail letters, take advertising, go networking, do a public speech. All of those things are part of your marketing. And if you do this stuff, then consequences will follow. You'll meet new people. You'll start to develop relationships, and on it goes.
So is there any don't do's? Is there anything you can do to stuff up your marketing?
No, not really. You can make a complete ass of yourself, of course, but, marketing should be incredibly cheap, because it should be cheap because it's effective, and it should be effective because you test it. Now, you're not going to take a $10,000 advertisement in a newspaper until you've taken a $100 advertisement in that same newspaper and seen if it gets to your target market, see if it gets results.
Then, if you're not sure, take it slowly.
Oh, you've got to take it slowly, even if you are sure, or even if you think you're sure, because you've just got to keep testing stuff. So you take a $100 ad in the newspaper, it works. Hey, let's try a $1,000 ad. And hey, that works really well. Wonder if a $5,000 ad would work as well. Hey, that works even better. and then up to a full page ad. Google AdWords is a great example of that. You just test, to spend $10 a day. And man, if that works, you keep pumping it up. Because then if you spend $100 a day, you're getting 10 times as much business at $10 a day. And if you're not, then start reeling it back in and testing and trialing new things.
Yeah.
And it's the same with any marketing. There's absolutely no limit on what you can do. And I always say, not only should your marketing be cheap because it's paying it for itself, but the effective marketing is generally free because you've got stuff like do your own PR. And I really push that with clients. Try and do your own PR if you've got the time, because you learn so much. You start to develop relationships. You start thinking strategically about your business.
Do you think if you do your own PR too, the people you meet relate to you better because you're the actual person that they're going to be dealing with if they want to take up your business?
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
Instead of like a third party that's...
Yeah, because I do a lot of PR stuff, or have over the years, and if I'm out there doing, let's say, a public speech, and then they start dealing with me, they go, hey, we're dealing with the real expert of this business, we're dealing with the real head honcho. So it's fairly important.
People like to know that they're dealing with the boss and stuff too.
Yeah, and that's why I do most of the client care in the business. We are very effective in our strategic relationship building, and we do things where people think our motivation was A, B and C, when it's got absolutely nothing to do with short-term stuff or a little job or whatever. We've got longer-term strategic objectives.
So you're saying in marketing, don't just think in short term in terms of the money you can get in now, but also think in terms of the long term?
Oh, exactly. And that's a great example is the Gold Coast Marathon bit of audio and video that we've done. There's a whole range of reasons that I won't go into now, aside from the fact that it demonstrates our product, blah, blah, blah.
It just comes down to relationship building, though, really.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And providing value to those people you're building relationships with so that they see you in a positive light, so that when you go to them next time with some sort of offer, there's been value for them there before, and so there's an anticipation of value there. So you've got all that credibility to build on, and away you go.
So you're just really saying take action for both the short term and the long term, and always try and quantify and test every little step of your marketing, and that will go a long way to making sure your product gets out there and that people pick it up, whether you've got a great product or an average product.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not selling as much as you want to be selling right now, it's because you're not doing enough marketing, or your marketing's not effective. Two things there. So if you're not doing enough marketing, so do more. Go networking, do ads, do a public speech, write an article, all of those things, and more. There's heaps of things you can do. Send out newsletters to your current customers. I'm not always amazed. It's just typical that you'll go and buy a product. It's just crazy. People never, ever follow up. I mean, looking at all this audio equipment we've got here, we've spent, I don't know, probably a couple of grand, probably more than that, $5,000, I suppose, on audio equipment, software, cameras, blah, blah, blah. We've used Harvey Norman, which is one of the big retailers, and we've used a place called Billy Hyde, which is one of the big retailers of audio equipment in Brisbane, and we've used a local retailer of audio equipment who still knows that we're after a reflector. That's right, and that was months ago.
Yeah, and hasn't even called back to say, oh, we can get you one in a week, would you like it?
Yeah.
In which case, we'd probably just say yes.
Amazing, because there's not that many of us out there who are spending decent money on audio and video stuff. So you think when you get someone who comes into your shop, says, hey, I want to buy that, this is what I'm doing, that you would mark down his name, get his email address, get his address, and keep in contact with the guy. Because we have bought all this stuff and we've never, ever heard back from anyone. How stupid is that?
And it would make our job so much easier too if they just followed up and said, oh, these are our specials, would you like them? Then we had the option to say yes, because we might need something. Whereas if we have to go out and do all the groundwork of finding out who's supplying and all that stuff ourselves, it's just one extra thing to do.
It's just nuts,
in a million other things, yeah.
They're just throwing money away. And I've used my son Jack as an example before. Yeah. I get fired up about this subject. And, like, Jack loves his camping, obsessed with his camping. And we went to a camping shop that used to be just down the road here. And he brought something, and I went through an article on Taylor about how they could have followed up and never, ever have. And now he's got no loyalty to that shop. They've just moved. Mm. And then he's found another camping shop. And same thing, he's brought stuff there, brought lots of stuff from there, never, ever followed up. They've got to be signing him up into the camping shop adventure class every Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
they have someone come along and talk about camp. They give discounts. They send out newsletters, all of that stuff. Because Jack will just keep going back. Because there's not that many people who go camping. When you get someone in who buys your stuff, you've got to keep in contact. If you don't, you're out of your mind. You shouldn't be in business. You're a bloody idiot. So, yeah, I'll get fired up about that one. Today, our programmer, Anthony, has made us $1,000. Now, he's made us that $1,000 profit from two clients who he's been working on today, and they're clients we've had for 6 years and about a year, and that I've just resold stuff to them. And it's not rocket science. It's that if clients have spent $10,000 with us on websites, then, hey, they buy stuff about websites from us. So if we go back to them and say, okay, what I want you to do here is this, this, and this, and I suggest you buy this, this, and this. And they'll go, they'll think about it. I've made them an offer, and half the time they'll buy it, or more than half, just about every single time we make a recommendation, they buy it. So there you go. So that keeps Anthony in a job, keeps us profitable, and keeps the whole business rocking along. It's simple enough. It's simple stuff that just, you know, if you've got a customer, just keep in contact and keep going. Anyway, well, that'll wrap us up for the day about marketing and taking action. I'll get fired up about that subject there, Tina. If you've got customers, keep in touch with them. Send them newsletters. Send them letters. Send them a box of chocolates on their birthday. Send them a bottle of wine to say thanks. You're fantastic. As always, leave your feedback over on tailoredpodcast.com for our contact details. Our Skype address is tailored. And that's all for me. Thanks again for listening, and we'll speak with you next week.
Thanks, everyone. Speak to you soon. Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix, news and advice on marketing, media, and the web.